Our second reading is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair, the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, our souls inspire, continue with thy celestial fire. Move amongst us, work in our hearts and minds, and help us to understand, as we continue this study of the book of 1 Peter, what it is you're saying to us in our call to be a holy nation. For we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want us to continue that theme that we've been looking at and what it means to be called. We've been thinking about what it means to be called to be holy, what it calls to be a disciple, what it means to call to respect and to honor authority. And this morning in 1 Peter chapter 3, we unpack, at least I will attempt to unpack, a fairly controversial passage when we're thinking of what it means to be called to a godly relationship, a godly marriage, a godly union. Now, at the outset, all of you know, but for the sake of those who listen to the podcast that maybe don't know, I'm not married. So where do I begin to give marriage advice? What I know about marriage, you could write on the back of a postage stamp. And a postage stamp probably wouldn't even take it. So it would be wrong for me, I believe, to stand at the front of a church and say to you, this is how to live your married lives. Because in an ideal world, as textbooks might tell us, I could do that. But I know we don't live in an ideal world. And I know that life is not a bed of roses. So I'm not going to approach this morning, from that point of view. But I do want to take what Peter has written and see what God might just be saying to us, perhaps in a relationship, but also to me as a singleton. Because I believe there's a message for us all in how we treat each other throughout this. And you might be sitting thinking, there he goes, he's copped out of it already. But I haven't. Because there are some hard-hitting things in this. Now, Peter, we have to understand that we believe that Peter was married. And with scriptural backing for that. So as Peter writes this, he's not writing it from the perspective that I might write such a letter. In that he knows what it's like to be married. He knows what it's like to be called to live a life that takes him away from home. That takes him hours and days and weeks of journeys away from home. So he knows what that's like. And how do we know Peter's married? Well, we know that in the scriptures we're told that Peter's mother-in-law was ill with a fever. His mother-in-law, so he had to be married. All right, there's the scriptural back and forth. But we also have to understand that Peter is writing in an era where there is very much defined lines in society. That the man is the household keeper, he is the one that provides for the family, and the wife's job is to be at home, looking after the children, feeding the crew. A sexist joke. Why is woman's feet smaller than men? To keep you nearer the sink. See, I can say it. I can get away with it. I've no wife at home to go home and hammer me. Anyway, wives, I've just lost 2/3 of my congregation. Peter writes, verse 1, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Now, what does he mean by this? Well, first of all, he says, in the same way. So he's not just making a statement. He's not saying, wives, be submissive to your husbands. He's not saying that. And yet it's so often interpreted that way. My husband says I have to do it, so therefore I have to do it. But you know, that's not the case. Because we need to go back 2 weeks to when we last looked at 1 Peter. We had a break last week because of Ascension. But in the previous passage, we heard about how that we must submit to the law of the land. We have to be under some form of headship, of governance. You know, the law of the land says don't do it, so we don't do it. And if we don't do it, then there's going to be consequences for it. We respect those who are set over us in authority. In my ordination vows, which is a bit like wedding vows, I promised to respect those who are set over me in the Lord, which means I have to submit to the authority that the bishop has over me. It doesn't mean that my feet need to be small so I can stand near the cooker and cook for him every time he comes to the parish. That's not what it means. What it means is that he is the one that makes the decisions, and within that respect of the law of the church, I have to adhere to that. And so with that sort of mindset, Peter is saying, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that there's a purpose behind it, and we'll come to that in a second. It's not just do it for the sake of doing it. In scriptural terms, there is always a headship. Christ is the head of the church. And within the family makeup, within the family home, and the mother's union represents this, the family makeup is that there's a father and a mother and children, but the ultimate responsibility for that family should, scripturally, lie with the father. It's the father's responsibility, with the mother as the partner helping where possible. Now, I know that when I think back to my own growing up, my own childhood, that within our family home, we always looked at our parents as equal partners. And probably, I would imagine if my brother was here, he may agree with me, we may have feared mum more than we feared dad. Because dad always would have said, wait till your mother gets home. There was the disciplinarian. But yet together, they worked as equal partners. Paul says that this is about, or not Paul, Peter, sorry, says, I think he's saying this is about respect. But he's saying it in a particular way. He says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Now, I don't think Peter for 1 minute is saying that you have to be a slave to your husband, for those of you that's married. I don't think that's what he's saying. And knowing some of the women of Stravan, I would know that's not the case. And it shouldn't be the case. You know, if your husband says jump, you shouldn't be saying hi, hi. If your husband wants you to jump, it should be for a particular reason. It's not just because he feels like saying jump. He says, be submissive to your husband so that, this is the important bit, if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. In my ministry so far, both lay and ordained, I have sat in many a prayer meeting where I have heard wives weeping for their husbands to come to Christ. And it breaks my heart. In fact, I could safely say for every husband that I've heard pray for his wife, there's been at least three wives pray for their husband. It's that ratio equally, that ratio easily. What Peter's saying is, watch your behaviors. I'm a fan of EastEnders. I admit it, confessions time. I probably shouldn't watch it, but I do. In fact, I could safely say I'm an addict to it, in that I tape it or record it so I can watch it when I go home. But I know enough, even though I'm not married, I know enough that in that program it's not how husbands and wives should be treating each other. It's about mutual respect. And what Peter is saying is, wife, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, let your testimony bring your husband also to the Lord Jesus. Let your testimony shine forth. Then he goes on to say, verse 2, they will see the purity and reverence of your lives. When we come to Jesus, we are made pure. We're made whole. And so whether we're married or not, for me as a single person, I need to let that purity of God shine forth in my life so that others will see it and come to Him. Yes, and in essence, in a way, this is about marriage this morning, but it's more about our testimonies. It's about guarding how we live, what we say, and the way we do things, and how that speaks to other people. And then he says in verse 3, and I love this verse. It's so often misinterpreted, but I love this verse. In my opinion, it's misinterpreted. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold and jewelry and fine clothes. Verse 4, instead it should be that of your inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So is Peter saying, don't wear hats? Is Peter saying, wear hats? Is Peter saying, don't wear jewelry? Is he saying it's okay to wear jewelry? To quote Fanta Clark, I've never seen an Isle Barndure that couldn't do well like a paint yet. Should you wear makeup or should you not? What's this saying to us? You think back to whenever David, who was made king by Samuel, whenever he stood before Samuel, what did God say to Samuel? Man looks at what? The outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So Peter is not saying, I don't believe he's saying, don't wear these things. What I do believe he's saying is, don't rely on them to bring other people. In other words, woman, don't seduce the man. What Peter, I believe, is saying is that the beauty that is within you comes from Christ. And let that beauty be seen to other people. And how you live. It's about your testimony. Back again to the testimony. Peter's saying, don't be relying on the jewelry. Don't be relying on the fine clothes. He's not saying they're wrong. He's saying don't be relying on them. Because these things in themselves can become an idol. Don't be relying on such things. Rely on what's inside you. This morning with the confirmation class, we were thinking about what makes us unclean. And we were reminded from Mark's gospel that what makes us unclean is what comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. Our testimonies is the most important thing. And then he says, use the woman of the Bible as your example. Follow the example that they leave you. Moving on very quickly. Husbands, verse 7, you don't get off with it either. He actually gives you a touch. He says, husbands, in the same way, be considered as you live with your wives. So he's saying, husbands, submit to your wife. Be submissive. For he uses that term, in the same way. So he's saying, everything that I have just said, I'm saying to you as well. So do we need to go and spend 40 quid at the barbers and get ourselves all gelled up. Let what's inside us come out. Or for some of us, and I'm getting there as well, just a good old chamois. He's saying, husbands, in the same way, respect your wives. The Apostle Paul writes, husband, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Which means, husbands, be willing to die for your wife. Be willing to lay down your life for her, so that she can also come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Morning, boys and girls. That's what it's about. It's about equal responsibility. It's about equal unity. It's about team. It's about working together as a team. Husbands, in the same way, be considered as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect. Treat them with respect. In this day and age, being a gentleman, things like my dad would have taught us to do, hold and open the door. Opening the door of the car. Paying for the ice cream or whatever it might be. Those things never go out of fashion. The boys and girls that have just joined us from Sunday school, hear that. You haven't heard the rest of what I've said this morning, but hear that. Boys, always hold open the door for the girls. All right, Alex, good man. Respect each other so that we can win each other. I have said for every one husband that I have heard cry in a prayer meeting for his wife, I have heard three wives pray for their husbands. Statistics show that when a husband comes to faith in Christ, within the year, the whole family have come to faith in Christ. Statistics show it. When a husband comes to Christ, within 1 year, the whole family is there as well. It takes a lot longer when it's the wife trying to bring the family on her own. Work together as a team for the building up of the body of Christ. Then Peter says to the husbands, treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you. So in other words, they're going to inherit the kingdom of gracious gift of life so that nothing can hinder your prayers. Absolutely nothing can hinder your prayers. The Lord Jesus makes us pure. The Lord Jesus makes us holy. The Lord Jesus transforms what is within us and makes it beautiful in his sight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word to us. It is a difficult word and it can be hard to understand and can be misinterpreted in so many ways and used to beat each other up in so many ways. But Father, help us to be submissive to each other, not in a way that is domineering, not in a way that leads to slavery, but actually in a way that leads to total freedom, to total unity, to total understanding, to total coming together. Bless all our relationships with each other. And help us to love you wholeheartedly so that our testimonies may shine forth and bring others to you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.